Turn with your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to hang out in that book, in those chapters there for this morning. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity that we have to gather together in your name. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that as you've inhabited our praise here today, Lord, that you would now help us to focus on what you want us to apply to our lives. Won't you equip us today and encourage us today so that when we leave this place in a little bit, Lord, that you would, that we would know that, first off, that we would say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, but that we would also take you with us and this encouragement that we are going to be receiving here today. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do here. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister strongly to our hearts this morning. And we ask these things, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, so how many here has ever prayed and then prayed some more, and yet you seem to get no immediate visible results? Anybody in that category? Okay. And how about, let's add to it, on top of that, when you pray, and you pray, and then you pray some more, not only do you not get any visible immediate results, but also things seem to actually be getting worse. Anybody want to join in with that? Yeah. Now, this can get really discouraging. We ask ourselves, does prayer work? We ask ourselves, does God care? We ask ourselves, am I being punished? And why even try? Anybody ever ask those questions? Maybe you're there even today. We read scriptures such as 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, and we hear this quoted. In fact, I share it quite a bit from the pulpit. For no matter how many promises the Bible says that God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So we say, all God's promises are yes and amen. You've heard me say that before. We sing a song that's entitled that. And we appreciate this scripture. We appreciate these promises and these declarations in God's word. And we want to believe it, but then how many find this difficult sometimes to believe when we're going through struggles and it seems that God is silent and his promises are a million miles away from being realized? In our suffering seasons, it's a lot like we're in a wilderness. Where's the rest stop? Where's the oasis? Where's this place of refreshing and hope? Where is this yes and amen that God has promised? Promise of a future blessing. How many like to be blessed? Anybody like to be blessed? Of course, all of us like to be blessed. Now, this blessing wasn't realized by Abram yet, but it was promised. And so with God promising, certainly it's as good as done, right? And when God promises things to us, we expect that this promise is to be fulfilled right away, don't we? Hey, God promised it. God said it. You ever heard that line from that old gospel song, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. How many has ever heard that? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. And then we add a line to it. Maybe not out loud, but in our hearts we say, as long as it's realized in my life right away. But God's promises rarely manifest right away. And here's the problem with wanting this immediate gratification in our lives. And here's the thing. See, what we do is we focus so much in our lives on the destination, the answer to our prayers, the blessings, the healing, the provision, the help. Whatever it is that we're praying for, God, do it and do it now. That's the destination. While God is always more focused on the journey. You see, he wants our relationship with him to be stronger, more intimate. He wants us to mature in him. He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to be more like Jesus through each test and each challenge. God wants to bless us. That's the fun part. But he also wants to stretch us. And that's not the fun part. So Abram, he gets this promise. And then look what happens. Look in Genesis chapter 12, verse 8. This is right after the promise. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and set up his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So he prayed. Abram said, man, this is great. I got a blessing. It's getting ready to happen. Things are getting ready to pop. Man, I'm getting ready to get promoted. Here it comes. Lord Jesus, man, you and me, like, you know, tight. I'm just going to pray to you because all is good. I got the blessing. I mean, I don't see it, but it's on the way. So God, I'm good. We're just going to have this prayer relationship. And guess what the results were? As Abram's just pumped, man. He's ready to go with this thing. And I'm praying to God because, God, you're awesome. But then the results of that prayer was that there was a famine in the land. Look in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Now, two scriptures later, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was so severe. So in other words, he had to pull up stakes, the tent that he set up, and said, I gotta do this now because there's nothing to eat here. There's nothing growing. There's no rain. Well, that was unexpected. God, you blessed me. You promised it. I'm praying, man, we're tight. And now there's a famine? Abram was given a promise of blessing, but he gets a famine. And that was after he prayed. Have you ever experienced that? Did you pray for that blessing, expecting the blessing, and then you get the opposite of what you expect, of what was promised? Let's look at famine for a little bit, because you think, well, I don't know about famine. There's another, it rains here a lot. There's plenty of food lying, you know, just we're good. I haven't had to relocate. But a famine can manifest itself in many ways. Maybe you in your finances, you're working hard. Here you are. You're saving up for a rainy day. Maybe you've retired and you put some money back, you know, for that retirement. Or maybe you're still working and you're going at it. You're a good steward of your resources. You tithe. You've been tithing for decades. You're financially disciplined. You don't spend, overspend. You stay out of debt. You don't use credit cards. You're generous in your giving. You tithe. I mean, all these sort of things you're doing. You're checking off all the boxes of biblical stewardship of your resources, and yet here you are today in some sort of financial pinch where there's a demand on your finances that's happening. What's going on? It's a financial famine of sorts. Maybe that's not your case. Maybe instead you have a famine in your mind or maybe in your emotions. You can't think straight and you've lost your joy. You avoid people because it means you actually have to talk to them. You put on a happy face and you act like everything is okay when you know deep down inside that it's really not. Your emotional and mental famine is so severe that you can barely make it through each day and you just want to run away from it all. Crawl into a hole and wish the world would leave you alone. In fact, you may be watching from home today because you're in such a famine and you just would rather not even be around people, but you still want to be in church. Maybe there's a spiritual famine in your life today. Maybe today you've come in here feeling so empty. You aren't sure God loves you. You're not sure where he is in your life. You're just treading water in your relationship with him. Coming to church is just an automatic religious function when you do come. His word has become dry. Your heart has become hard. Your prayers have become cold. There's no spiritual life in your heart. There's no sense of closeness to Jesus. You're in the midst of a severe spiritual famine. Are any of these categories, these famine categories, resonating in your life today? Can you relate to it? Stay with me here. So Abram, he gets an awesome promise from God, and then he prays, and then a severe famine happens. Great. Thanks, God. Okay, that's fine. I'll keep believing. A little bump in the road, that's life, I guess, but nothing that can't be overcome in time. So I'll just keep trusting you, Lord. I'll just keep hoping. I'm going to try again. I'm going to keep pressing in. And so then Abram prays again in Genesis chapter 13. Look at it, verses 3 and 4. He's pressing in. He's moving forward. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. And there, Abram called on the name of the Lord. So there he is again. Leaning into the Lord, waiting for the promise, waiting for the blessing. Maybe God's promise will be fulfilled now, Abram's thinking. Now that whole famine thing notwithstanding, I'm still expecting God to come through. And what were the results of him pressing in and praying? There was strife in his family. Look at me. Look at in Genesis chapter 13, verse 7, just three verses later. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's herders. Lot was Abram's nephew. So we have this famine. We made the necessary adjustments, and we got things somewhat stabilized in this new normal. But now God adds to it some family strife. Well, that's always fun. Now, I know nobody here has ever experienced any strife in your family, right? Just talk about other people. All your children are shipshape. They're pressed clean. They're yes, sir, no, ma'am, obedient children. And when they grow up, they're just an adult version of that very same thing. Just like Mary Poppins, your children are practically perfect in every way. Yeah, right. Now, maybe you don't have children, or maybe that's not the case, but I know nobody here struggles in their marriage. No fights, no quarrels, no disagreements, no anger issues, no hurt feelings. Every marriage here is the ideal marriage that anybody would want to have. If you were to look up perfect marriage in the dictionary, the picture of you and your spouse would be right beside it, smiling. Yeah, right again. The truth is, if you have family, you're going to have strife. It may not be your children, it may not be your spouse. Maybe it's your cousin. Maybe it's an aunt, it's an uncle, it's a niece, it's a nephew, it's grandparents, it's in-laws or outlaws. I don't know. We scream in our minds and sometimes out loud, can't we just have some peace? We pray and we ask God to restore and to heal and to bring unity and love and peace in our families. And still there's the strife, there's the division. There's all that. So Abram gets a promised blessing, and then he prays and gets a famine. And then he prays again, and he gets family strife. Now, again, thanks, God. Is this some sort of game to you, God? Are you a ringmaster in the circus, which is my life, and I'm that little animal jumping through those burning rings of fire for the amusement of the audience? I mean, is this what is going on here? If I were Abram, I would begin to have some serious doubts about God, his promises, his care, and his love for me. And maybe you're there today. Maybe it feels like it's National Dog Pile on You Day every day. You look at your life and all that's going on right now, and you hold your life up next to God's word, his yes and amen promises that you've been standing on for years, and you just don't seem to be lining up with those promises in your life. You read books from spiritual authors, or you hear TV preachers tell you how you can live a blessed life 100% of the time if you'll just send in that contribution or buy that book. You read your social media posts from 5,000 of your dearest, closest friends who brag on their families and how close they are and their perfect lives and how wonderfully things are going for them. And then you look at the train wreck that's your life and wonder what you're missing. You're teetering on the brink, and you're about ready to give up, but then you tie another knot on the end of the rope, and you say, no, I will continue to trust in the Lord. I will not give up. Maybe that's what Abram did. Have I touched on anything so far that maybe you're going through today? Let's continue. So then now Abraham prays again in Genesis chapter 13, verse 18. So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he set up his tents, and there he built an altar to the Lord, and we assume that he prayed. He didn't just look at the altar, he prayed. So here he is, still pressing in, right? Still praying, still believing in God. Remember the promise of the blessing that came to him some time back. And so he prayed again. And what are the results? His nephew, Lot, was taken captive. Genesis 14:12 says, the four kings who invaded Sodom, if you read the story, there's these kings that came in from other nations and began to raid and invade and take over. And Lot lived in Sodom. So the four kings who invaded Sodom not only looted the cities, but they also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and all of his possessions, since Lot was living there in Sodom. Now, okay, God, this is ridiculous. You gave me a promise of blessing, and I can't wait. How exciting, the blessing of God. And then I pray, and I get a famine. Okay. And then I pray again, and I get family strife. Okay. And then I pray again, and I get a loved one taken captive that I need now to rescue. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like that all you ever do is rescue people? Do you ever feel like that all you do is fix things that are broken in people's lives? And if the answer in your mind is right now no, then maybe you're the one that always is being rescued. And you need to get your act together, I tell you. See, rescues are always bailing someone out. They're always giving out advice. They're always going the extra mile to pull someone out of the ditch that they've driven themselves into. Always spraying water from the large hose to put out the flames of what is the dumpster fire that has become their lives. They're always giving and giving and giving until they give out. It's exhausting. It's draining. You know, you have your own issues. You have your own struggles, your own challenges that you face daily. And then you get a line forming in front of you like you're some worker at the DMV calling out the next number to serve, and they just keep coming. It's relentless. You're dealing with a famine of emotions, thinking, finances, your walk with Jesus. You're dealing with family strife. You're on top of all that. You're trying to rescue people that you care about who come to you with one thing or another. And all the while, you're looking at the clock, counting the minutes before your next break or quitting time. That's probably what Abram was going through. Abram was not superhuman. He had his limits, just like you, just like me. And after all of this, you'd think he'd quit. You'd think he'd just give up. This prayer stuff doesn't work, and God doesn't care, and he's not even real. God's promises are not true. Not for me. Not real, not possible. They may be yes and amen for everyone else, but they're no and oh my for me. You ever get to that point? You ever look at the landscape that is your life and say, there's no way things will ever get better. There's no way this famine will ever go away. My family will never be restored. I'll never have enough strength to make it through. I'll never be healed. I'll never see God's blessings realized in my life. And maybe you're here today right now saying those same things. So we ask, does God hate me? We ask, is he punishing me? We ask, am I missing something here? And the answer is no. God does not hate you. God is not punishing you. God loves you with an everlasting love. And he cares deeply and completely for you. And he knows what you're going through. And listen to this. This may seem opposite of what you expect me to say next. Here's the kicker. God is actually allowing these things in your life. You say, what? Why? And I'll answer that in just a minute. But first, I want to wrap up our story with Abram. Now, Abram could have assessed the situation and made up his mind to give up. He could have turned from God. He could have chosen to just not believe anymore. He could have looked at the landscape of his life and said, I'm done. He had every right. He'd been given a promise by God. And then he prayed. And then he prayed. And then he prayed. And then he believed. And he believed, and then he believed, and all he got for it was famine, and family division, and people needing rescue. Let me ask you a question today. How close are you to giving up? How discouraged are you today? How burned out are you today? How many here today are just looking at the clock of your life and waiting for it to strike 5 o'clock quitting time. Abram could have given up, but he didn't. After the promised blessing and then the famine and the family division and the demand for rescue, we see that he persevered. Write that word down, persevered. He persevered. And through that perseverance, he realized the promise of blessing. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 14, just the next chapter. Verse 18, it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Then in just the very next chapter, just a few verses later, in Genesis 15, 1, the Lord then said to Abram, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. You see, God gave Abram a place of rest and refreshing. This priest, Melchizedek, brought him bread and wine. Brought him refreshing, brought him strength in his struggles. And after all these struggles, it's when Abram realized his blessing. If you read Genesis chapter 17, God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many. It was at this time that God promised Abraham a son. It was through this son that eventually the nation of Israel would be established, and through that nation which our Savior Jesus Christ would come. And that's why we're here today to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. But between the promise and the reality, there was some pretty intense refining and suffering that Abraham had to go through. And that's really the key today, church. That's the answer to the question that I said that I was going to answer just a few moments ago as to why God allows suffering, why God allows waiting, why God allows delay, and why God allows struggles in our lives. And that is that Jesus wants to refine us. Church, we must realize and get settled in our hearts that as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in our day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year walk with him, between the promise of his blessing and the fulfillment of his blessing, there's two things that take place. We pray and we suffer. Did you hear me today? We pray and we suffer. Why? Why do we have to suffer? It's because that's God's refining design for our lives. Because in our sufferings, church, through our sufferings, we move from anxiety to peace in Christ. In our sufferings and through our sufferings, we move from despair to hope in Jesus Christ. In our sufferings and through our sufferings, we move from unbelief to a deeper faith in Jesus Christ. In our sufferings and through our sufferings, we die more to ourselves, to our flesh, to our wants, to our plans, and we live more like Jesus in his holiness, in his purity, and in his righteousness. It's through our sufferings that we are refined and made more like Jesus. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow. I thought walking for Jesus was just going to be like glory, 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 blessing, blessing, blessing. You mean I got to suffer? Yeah. It's through those struggles and through those challenges and through that suffering that we become more like Christ. And I don't know about you, but I need to be more like Jesus every single day, more and more like him. How about you? Has anybody here arrived? None of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. All of us need to be more like Jesus. And the only way that we're going to be more like Jesus is through those tests and those challenges and through the suffering and through the struggle. Because that's where Jesus shows up the best. That's where Jesus shows up the strongest in our lives, does he not? That's where he shows up the sweetest in our lives, does he not? It's a choice that we make, church. We can live in anxiety and despair and unbelief, or we can, through our struggles, allow the Holy Spirit to grow us in his peace, in hope, and in a deeper faith in Jesus Christ. We can choose today to allow the Holy Spirit to refine us in our sufferings, to make us more complete, lacking nothing, and more like Jesus. We're all going to suffer. We're all going to face stuff in our lives. And a lot of times we go to the bottle or to the pill or to the relationship or to the thing to try to calm us and to just let it melt away. But once that alcohol wears off, once that pill wears off, once that shiny new thing begins to lose its luster, that suffering is still going to be there. I got some great advice for you today. In your sufferings, let Jesus carry you. In your sufferings, depend on him. In your sufferings, grow in relationship with him. Don't push him aside and think that he's left you, because he's not. Peter talks about our struggles and this refining quality in this letter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Can I tell you that the sufferings that you're going through, the struggles right now, are not only to refine you, to make you more like Jesus, but it's also so that you can have a testimony of how good Jesus is to others that are going through the same thing. It's all to the glory of God. It's all to the glory of Jesus Christ. I wonder, church, if Abraham would have given up after his nephew Lot was taken captive, if he would have realized the blessing from Melchizedek, the king of Salem. By the way, Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And Salem means peace. And he was the king of that city, Salem. And really, he's the type of Christ. This is who Jesus is to us. Jesus is your righteousness. He's your king of righteousness, and he's your king of peace if you'll allow it. And he wants to impart that same blessing of righteousness and peace upon you today through in and through your struggles, if you'll allow him. So let me ask you today, how close are you to realizing God's blessings of healing? How close are you to realizing God's blessings of provision, his blessing of restoration in your life today? How close are you to seeing your famine being turned into plenty, your family being reunited, and what you planted and watered in rescuing other people producing some good fruit? Church, today, don't give up. I'll say that again. Church, today, don't give up. Don't give in today. Don't throw in the towel today. Don't stop expecting God to come through for you today, because he will come through for you in his good time and in his good way. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9 says it emphatically. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Turn to someone and say, don't give up. Remember, church, today, that between the promise and the fulfillment, we pray and we suffer. Church, don't give up on the one who hasn't given up on you. Church, remain faithful to the faithful one. Church, trust in the one who is completely trustworthy. In all these sufferings, let your faith grow. In all these sufferings, let your relationship with Jesus become more intimate. Because the realization of your blessing, it could be right around the corner. Jesus says to you today, just like he said to Abraham long ago, don't be afraid. I am your shield, and I'm your very great reward. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we thank you today for your word that's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And your word points us to examples in the Bible of people that went through difficult times. And Father, there may, there may be some people here this morning that are struggling with a famine of sorts. There may be some people that are watching here from home, and they're dealing with some famine of sorts. Lord, I thank you that as you've blessed us and made a promise of blessing to us, you've promised to never leave us, never forsake us. There's so many promises in your word that are yes and amen. And we've grabbed hold of those things. We read them 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. They've still not come to pass. And it seems like, Lord, every time we pray, something else happens that hits us. Every time we press in, every time we tie another knot on the end of the rope, and we say, Lord, nevertheless, I will trust in you. Nevertheless, I will believe in you. Nevertheless, I won't let go. Yet, we just keep getting tossed, bombarded, hit on the left, hit on the right. Another bad report, another someone needing rescue, another family squabble. The famine in our lives is just because of different things that are going on, and we struggle so. But Father, help us to realize that these struggles and these tests, these sufferings that we're going through, are part of your plan. That doesn't mean that your promises are not yes and amen. That doesn't mean that you're not wanting to bless us. But there's a song that says, could it be that in the struggles and in the trials, that's really where your blessing is? Lord, there's a truth to that. There's such a truth to that because, Lord Jesus, I know that what we label as blessings are the things that are wonderful and exciting and great and, oh, all those wonderful things that come our way that just make us feel so much better. But Lord, could it be that in the struggles, that's where the true blessing is? Because that's where we become more like you. Because that's where our faith grows in you. Because that's where we die to ourselves. Because that's where that true life change takes place that needs to take place. So Lord, your word says to rejoice at all times, to give thanks in all things. And so today, we take the lesson from Abram, who even though he kept pressing in and praying after you promised the blessing, he kept getting hit to the left and to the right. Lord, I thank you that he modeled for us an example of a human being who simply trusted in you no matter what, and whose foundation was built strongly upon a relationship with you, Lord God. Today, Lord God, the storms may buffet, the circumstances may not be pleasant, and you may seem like you're a million miles away, but we will not give up on you. Our anchor holds, and we will not give up. For after a while, we're going to reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged, if we don't give up. Today, we embrace those sufferings and those struggles. We give them to you today, trusting you, Lord God, that you're walking us through the journey. You've never left us, never forsaken us. Jesus, you promised that right before you ascended to heaven. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even to the ends of the earth. So Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, won't you come and make yourself real to us this morning? And for each one that this message has resonated with this morning, I pray, God, that you would help us to tie even one more knot on the end of that rope, and tie however many knots that we have to the end of the rope, and that we would hold on tightly to our relationship with you, and that through this, our faith would grow, our trust in you would grow, that we would be more like you through it all, because that blessing is on the way. It may not manifest when or how we want it to, but Father, we're going to hold true to your promises, that your blessings that are yes and amen are for us as well in your time and in your way. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if a situation that you're going through today. I just want the rest of everyone else just to pray. And I'm sure that everybody in this place is dealing with some sort of situation in your life that this has resonated with. And we have some folks up here that would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you as well. Maybe from home you're here as well. I'll be praying with you as well. Maybe you want to make a comment in the comment section to say, hey, just pray for me. We won't put you on our prayer list. We'll certainly be praying for you. But if today you just need to tie another knot on the end of your rope, if maybe you're on the verge of giving up, if maybe you've questioned God's promises and wondered if this whole prayer thing really works and if God really cares, I just want you to come up to the front here and say, Pastor, that's me. I mean, you've read my mail today. The Holy Spirit's ministered to me through this message. And I just want you to come and just lay these things at the feet of the Lord, whatever it is that you're going through. We're going to pray together. If you need prayer, some folks here again to pray with you. But would you come on up just as I'm inviting you, and let's just give these things to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we will not give up on you. Lord, we're tossed, we're buffeted, but we're going to keep our eyes fixed on you. You, the author and the finisher of our faith. You, Lord Jesus, are the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's none like you. There's none like you. There's none like you. Can we do that chorus of there's none like you, that none? There is none like you. None like you. The faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you. None like you. The faithful one, Jesus. Sing that with me. There is none like you, none like you. The faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you, none like you. The faithful one, Jesus. None like you, Lord. None like you. Father, we thank you. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength today. That we wouldn't look to the left or to the right at circumstances in our life, but that we would keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, even though things may not work out like we want them to, as we pray, things sometimes seem to get worse. Father, we're still going to trust in you. I pray, God, for encouragement today in this congregation, and that we would encourage one another in the faith, and that we would trust in you, that in your time and in your way, these things will come about that you have planned for us, that blessing that you have planned for us, those blessings that you've spoken into our lives through your word. Every struggle, every battle, Lord, the battle belongs to you. The struggle is yours. These yokes of heaviness that are on us, we give them to you. We lay them at your feet. We put on the yoke, Lord Jesus, of telling others about you. We're going to walk out of here free, and he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you today that you're encouraging us to don't give up. No matter what, we will not give up. We will trust in you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray now that as we leave this place here in just the next few moments, that you go with us. Let your spirit be strong in our lives. Encourage us in the faith, Holy Spirit. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we go from here into the fellowship hall, may you bless the food and the time of fellowship. And may you encourage us so that we can be an encouragement to others. As you've equipped us, may we go out now, Lord, and equip others. As we've had church, may we now go out and be the church. I thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We honor you today. There is none like you. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning for his encouragement? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Join us next week as we continue to learn from God's Word and apply it to our lives.